Please be seated. This is an appropriate day, I guess. It just happened to be this Sunday that we were coming here finally. And this was on the calendar the same Sunday that we started with. I realized that whenever I went to write my sermon and I looked at the readings for today, and I go, well, I've already written one for this epistle. When did I write that? Oh, yeah, that was the last time I was here. First time I was here. Today is, for those of you who don't know, this is the official name for this day. It's Lectare Sunday, but more commonly known as Church Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday. So happy Church Mother's Day to all mothers of all types, mothers yet to come, and for all those mothers who have gone before us. Once again, I'd like to thank all of you for having us for this whole year. It's been pretty great. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for the whiskey last week. It's been pretty good.
We're hoping so.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Much is said in Christian teaching about bread and feeding and being fed. A good church always centers around some sort of food. We have our bread here at the altar, and we'll have bread here, there, and everywhere. There's actually a precedent from the earliest days of Christianity for eating together, having our holy coffee hour, or whatever you have. For us, it's been going to the Gilded Paddock, which we will definitely keep up that tradition today, so please come along. But like many concepts that we are confronted with in our Christian lives, we repeat this whole terminology about being fed and bread. We often cheerfully we do it, but we don't think about what we're saying. People are often surprised that I despise contemporary Christian music to the deepest pit of my soul. I have since I was a little kid. The writers of this praise music have created sappy, repetitive mush that neither says anything worthwhile nor increases the presentability of Christianity. TV character, one of my favorite cartoons whenever I was younger, once said that they aren't making Christianity any better, they're making rock and roll worse. They pepper their songs with Christian buzzwords like blood, holy, lamb, sacrifice, and of course, bread. The problem is that they sing these words over and over, but they never really say anything. While we like to see the faults in poor expressions of Christianity, we too are guilty of doing this. We go through the motions in our spiritual lives, not putting our full intention into understanding what we are asking of God and what He is asking of us. I too am guilty of this. There are so many times that I go through the service and something new will occur to me that I've been saying this for years. And that's what that means. In today's gospel reading, we see one of the most popular of Christ's miracles. Christ looked upon the multitudes of people who had believed in His greatness and asked His apostles where they could buy enough bread for all of them. The passage states that Christ already knew what He was going to do, but He sought the confidence of His apostles in the matter. Philip answered that even if they had the equivalent of a man's yearly wage, they could barely buy enough bread to give everyone just a bite, much less enough to feed them all. Andrew pointed out that there was a boy with a little food, but not enough to feed everyone. Jesus' miracle was to make that little amount of food sufficient to feed 5,000 people and have even more bread left over. The obvious traditional way to understand this miracle is that it is just that, a miracle. Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, multiplied it, and made it enough food for 5,000 of his followers. Of course, our skeptical minds are prone to seek explanation for the things which we cannot sense ourselves. The most skeptic way to approach Christ's miracles is to disavow them altogether. But believe it or not, many Christians today are trying to find rational explanations for the wonders which Christ performed. One such rationalization is that the miracle we read about today is that the true miracle was performed in people's hearts. Jesus did not multiply the food, no. Whenever Jesus presented the people with the meager donation from the little boy, the people were so moved that they all pitched in together so that everyone was full and there were leftovers to give to the poor and whatnot. How very human-centered we have become to invent such a story. The theology which we learn here is that we all have to pitch in to fill our needs. If we work hard enough, then we can do it. While this may be inspiring, it is misleading, because there is only so much that we can do for ourselves. As broken creatures, it is only a matter of time before we need outside help. We are all hungry for something, and we try to fulfill our hunger through all these things that will ultimately leave us hungry for something else. We need to learn to stop trying to feed ourselves, metaphorically speaking, and instead let God give us the bread of heaven. That is the moral that we need to understand from this passage. Just as Christ did not need the help of those 5,000 followers in order to feed them, God is good enough to satiate the needs we have inside. This is the second point that we tend to miss in contemporary popcorn Christianity. God can satiate your needs. Whenever these people were hungry, Christ gave them enough bread and fish for them to not be hungry anymore. He did not prepare them a great feast of lobster and filet mignon because they believed in him and they wanted it. You see, current theology that dominates in the hearts of many of our Christian friends, including some of our own folks, is that if you believe in Christ and you pray hard enough, then God will give you whatever you ask for. This is called the prosperity gospel. Terrible Bible reading and charismatic preachers, many of them on TV like Joel Osteen, have made this a common belief for us. You see, our 21st century American minds are geared towards a business relationship with everyone and everything. What can you do for me? This is how we view God as well. I know plenty of people who fully believe that God exists, but they see no need to have a relationship with him. The whole Christian thing just seems like it would be too much of a hassle. And they see they receive no return on the deal. The prosperity gospel has distracted us from the true meaning of being fed through Christ. We truly will have abundance in our life with Christ, but that does not take the form of great material wealth. That is because we do not need piles of money and giant mansions. Let's look at a portion of the most important prayer we have, the Lord's Prayer. In it, we ask God to give us this day our daily bread. Christ taught us to pray this way, not to ask God for all the money that we could spend, and not to be blessed with everything we could ever want. Did anybody else pray to win the $1 billion lottery the other day? I thought of all the great things that I could do with it. Yeah. But I shouldn't have been praying for that sort of thing. I should have been praying for just enough to get by. No, Christ taught us to petition God to give us what we need. Just enough of what we need. While it isn't glamorous, it is glorious. No matter how bad it looks, God will see you through. If you truly need something, then God finds a way to provide. God will give you your daily bread. My mother always said that God answered all prayers. Now, she didn't tell me the other part of that until recently. I don't think I was old enough to hear it up until recently, but she says that God answers all prayers. It's true. But sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes it is no. And sometimes it is not yet. Now think about how different and probably awful your life would be if you had gotten everything you have ever prayed for exactly the way you wanted. I've talked to people before. I used to substitute for high school, and these children would just bawl their eyes out if their high school girlfriend and boyfriend broke up. We were supposed to be together forever. And I would say that it has worked out for people to be married to your high school sweetheart, but I can't imagine the nightmare of being married to my high school sweetheart. I know that if I had gotten everything I ever prayed for, I know that I would not be a priest. I would not have my beautiful wife, and I would not have had any of the wonderful adventures and opportunities that I thank God that I was given. So always, forever, give thanks for the wondrous gifts that God has surprised you with. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.